And right now, we're going to have a special feature with Baby Man. I caught up a few days ago with the main protagonists, Tom Driver and Peter Harris, both amazing artists in their own right. They were aided and abetted by Stanley Badd in compiling the LP Baby Man. And Baby Man's tagline is collapsing machismo, one song at a time.
Hello. Goodbye. Resonance. 104.4.
Joining me now on the line, I have Baby Man. The name of the project, the name of the album, the name of a song on the album, a name that crops up on many songs on the album. Is this a concept as such, or is it a philosophy?
Yeah.
Yeah, we struggle to come up with names and titles. No, I don't know. I think it came like before we had a name for the project or the philosophy or anything. We just made that first song with the lyric Baby Man in it, and then everything grew from there, essentially. So it started with that song, and then
comes
kind of.
from the Baby Man drawings. There's a series of drawings called Art Dads, and they're kind of sub-stalkery drawings of me with fantasy fathers. So it's basically you'll have like a big Bob Dylan, and he'll be holding me as a baby, but the baby's face is old and ugly, and it's me. So it's a kind of wish fulfillment, sort of sad, pathetic kind of stalkery series of drawings. And I thought, well, kind of a good idea for a band as well, like babies who never grew up.
Yeah, and then we kind of built everything around there. So then this we did some more songs, and then this kind of idea of I guess like puncturing a certain sort of masculinity is a really strong thread running through the whole thing, and then it grew from there. So we yeah, what am I saying, Pete? What did we do after the
Just
Baby Man
the
song?
themes of the songs, we wanted to be kind of slightly uncomfortable, kind of rock and roll manly sort of themes, because even if modern bands, even if they are kind of young, kind of cool guys, it's still quite kind of sex and drugs and rock and roll. And we're a bit older, and we wanted to do something kind of pre-teen, almost kind of naive and kind of anti that, so quite unglamorous subject matter, like our love for cats. I mean, you wouldn't normally get a band kind of doing a song about how much they love their cat, so it's sort of knowingly naive, but it's also using that to kind of get into uncomfortable areas and talk about things that maybe is aren't, isn't particularly rock and roll, like loving cats or there's a sort of reduction, a kind of cynicism, like the Thicko song, where things are kind of reduced to a sort of almost nihilistic, everything's shit, everything's thick. That kind of, I don't know if that makes any sense, but that was the idea anyway. I mean, it was lockdown and we were quite drunk when we were doing it, but it could explain quite a lot, really. It was a weird mental, frame. But we kind of felt like we had nothing to lose,
There was nothing else to do than just like once a week we'd sort of meet up legally, semi-legally. I'm not even sure what the status of anything was at the time, but we'd basically meet up and come just like really quickly come up with songs straight away, like do basically try and write everything in one session, one evening. And normally that worked pretty well. Some of them, Dylan Bates came on board and added some
Stanley
really,
Baird, we should
Stanley
say.
Badd, sorry, whoops, added some really kind of amazing bits of violin and his bagpipe.
Yeah, that's
So
it.
his bagpipe. But basically everything came together really quickly, so there's a kind of pretty lo-fi, slightly scrappy quality about the recordings. And like if we sang a little bit out of tune, then instead of getting rid of it and redoing it, we just sort of sing some more stuff on top and push it a bit further down the mix. So it's all adding to the atmosphere of the track, I guess. So yeah, trying to find a way out of lockdown, basically.
Easy with friend. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Ooh. Curled up sleeping in the morning light. You and I awake through the night. I see you watching spirits in the dark. The duppies dancing in my broken heart. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend.
Beautiful friend.
Beautiful friend. There's a strange dark underpinning. I get to thinking there's just no winning. Who would want a beast like me? And then you come and sleep on me. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Scratch me, but that's not your fault. I don't mind pain if love is the end result. Outside the city's like a battery farm, but you're sleeping in my arms. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend. Beautiful friend.
I was glad that it was so sort of varied, really, from kind of really experimental ones, like the kind of, you know, what's that one about You're Bigger Than Me? Which was
The Grower, I think.
Grower. I'm a grower, not a shower. Which is obviously about kind of dick size, but it's also about kind of macho mentality and the power of men when they're in the room together. I think that started out as a suggestion of yours about something like The Big Chef. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, it was to do with, I think I'd just been thinking about that sort of master chef, big head chef, ego trip sort of thing. You know, the kind of, I guess like Gordon Ramsay or somebody like that would be a sort of, a really acute example of that sort of crazy ego thing in that world, in that cooking world, because we're, I guess, yeah, things like that we think about a lot, because we're both really into cooking and just
and cats.
So it's a lot of these kind of sort of domestic kind of things filtering in a way, but in a bit of a strange way, where we kind of I guess like critiquing it, if you want to say that. More than, there's, like you say, there's some kind of nihilistic elements, but I don't feel that the album is that at all.
I think because the honesty, you know, being honest about stuff, you know,
it's quite
a friend
freeing.
Of mine always used to say, I'm a grower, not a shower. And I always thought that's a great line to kind of use somewhere. So that then became this kind of macho song about size. So I guess because we're talking about things that maybe people might not want to kind of reveal or put in their songs, there's a kind of honesty which maybe saves it from being kind of too bleak or nihilistic. A sort of innocence almost.
You're bigger than me.
if we fall, I'll probably lose. I'm too small for my shoes. I'm a grower, not a shower. I never caught the ball. Don't see why I should be like you, and you'll never be like me. I'm a grower, not a show off. 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 I'm a grower. Not a show off. I'm a grower. Not a show off.
Yeah, it's a very freeing kind of way to write a song, in a sense, just to kind of take the most basic or uncool or whatever thing is in your head, like a shopping list or,
yeah,
I mean, something, I don't know, something like that, and then just spinning off in whatever direction comes from that, and sort of like how that can illuminate maybe like deeper or darker things in life.
Reference like would that. Probably be a good point in question, almost like
this. Yeah, yeah, that was that's just like this kind of insane, as I remember it anyway, there was loads of, because there wasn't very much else to do than just sit there and do stuff online, and I ended up, well, probably most people, you just kind of end up filling in lots of forms, and, you know, I had to apply for Universal Credit and blah, 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 and all these things. So it's just this kind of... this like really insane form filling thing of you know how you interact with a very super impersonal system, but then at the same time it's asking quite personal questions, and it's a weird thing to negotiate. I don't know, I always find this kind of form filling quite a strange moment somehow. So that came off the back of that, and that was again like just how can you take something really banal and spin it into something more interesting?
Well, that's why it was sung. The idea was to try and sing it like kind of John Lennon. You know, those kind of really scathing Beatle-y songs, you know, I am he as you as. So it was trying to kind of sing like that about something incredibly boring and banal, make it like really emotional, even though it's completely almost contentless and completely dull, but it was trying to make it impassioned somehow.
And then there was this kind of idea of a duet with the machine, so the computer computer voice sings one part, and then you sort of have this almost like weird very tense duet with an algorithm.
Please complete this form.
What can you bring
titles and duties, marital status, ID, passport number.
There's a line at the very end of the album. I think it's along the lines of "We are the weeds the garden needs."
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's that track is called Deadhead Me. I think maybe Stanley came up with it. I can't remember even.
No, my job. I was a carer for.
Oh yeah, that was it.
Since died, sadly.
Yeah.
But the son who employed me would always say, "You need to deadhead these roses at the front of it." And I don't know anything about gardening, so I'd go around kind of delicately removing a sort of vaguely brown leaf, and you'd go, "No, no, you need to deadhead it," and you'd grab it and just packed it off. And I thought, "Oh right, okay, that's deadheading." And then we came in, "Oh, let's do something about like deadheading, because it seems like this weird." Let's get rid of these kind of weedy kind of crap things. So Deadhead Me became, I guess, about sort of dispossessed people being kind of brutally deadheaded.
Yeah, but then that line you mentioned about we are the weeds that the garden needs, that was kind of sort of like reversing that a little bit, wasn't it? This idea that, you know, you can, that weeds are very necessary to a garden, they're part of the ecosystem, and like if you apply that to you or oneself feeling, I don't know, kind of insignificant or sort of ignored or whatever, it's not that that's what you are. It's kind of, you know, it's very often a phase that you're going through, or there's this kind of external pressures you have no control over, and it's not like it doesn't have to be this thing of like I'm just rubbish and like it's all my fault. It's sort of trying to flip that around in a way. And say the opposite is true.
It resonated with me because I've just been doing the garden with my daughter last week, putting in some flowers. And we'd looked at the garden a couple of weeks ago and it was absolutely brown and dead. And we were saying, let's get some flowers in. By the time we were putting the flowers in and the sun had been out for 2 weeks, it's all full of weeds. And it's so beautiful. And it's full of bees. It's like a Heathrow for bees.
Yeah, amazing. It's like you need this variety in nature, and it's like to kind of chop everything down to like, oh, we need to have a perfect lawn, or like people have to behave in the same way and have these same opinions about things. It's like you need space for variety, I guess. It's sort of a little bit the point of that song.
Thank you. You only saw me
in my place.
We are.
Tom, you're no stranger to Hello Goodbye. I can't even quite place when you'd have first featured on the show, but it would have been back in the mid-noughties.
I think it was 2005, as far as I remember.
With Arthur Brick, I assume.
Yeah, that's right. It was a very early version of Arthur Brick when we, there was just three of us, and we had another drummer at that point. And I think I remember playing in Denmark Street, was it? You had a resonance studio there, really tiny. Yeah, that was 2005.
And then you were on a few times over the years. And Peter, were you once with Arthur Brick?
I was with Arthur Brick. We went country.
Lap steel.
That was good fun.
Yeah, so Peter, tell me about you've got your own radio show.
Yeah, it's called Radio O'Hara in Jerusalem. And rather than sort of playing records, it's kind of like each hour is made each month. And I ask lots of people to send in vocals or, you know, collaborate. Yeah, it's been some really interesting people taking part in that. And it's a lot of work, but it's, you know, really, really enjoyable and really good fun. And there's a sort of network of people, collaborators that I can work with now, which has been built up over the last sort of year and a half. Like Lee Perry was doing a lot of stuff from Jamaica till he died, very sadly, sort of phoning in kind of bits of vocals and doing a lot of stuff with Saul from Fat White Family, a lot of kind of weird droney kind of things. Who else have we had? Cozy, Fanny Tutti, obviously Warren, Meat Raffle, he does lots of stuff. Tom helps out. Just loads of different people from different areas of music. And there's usually a kind of overarching theme for each show. And it's just like an hour of original music. And it's quite, you know, I can take samples and things and play over the top of it. Or yeah, it's quite sort of dubwise and experimental, I suppose. And all the previous shows are on Mixcloud, so you can listen to it if you want to check out what we've done before.
There was a Baby Man special.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did a Baby Man.
Baby Man special.
That was quite funny, wasn't it?
That was laugh out loud fun to do.
Lots of sort of weird eye dance. So I think did something for that, didn't he?
There were some dead rock stars came back to give us
started off kind of believable, like it was, he was the first one, someone who was alive.
Oh, it was Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop. It's like first thing in the morning when your voice is deep, you go, "Hi, this is Iggy Pop." I mean, I can't do it now, it sounds shit. But you would have thought, "Oh shit, Iggy Pop's kind of," and then the next one was like, you know, till it went really ridiculous. It was like, "This is David Bowie. You're listening to Baby Man." You know, and it just went on like that. You know, "This is Bob Dylan. You're listening to Baby Man." You know, yeah. It just went really stupid in the end, like classic Baby Man style.
Yeah, there's a sort of streak of absurdism through the whole thing that I think we kind of really enjoy playing around with.
Well, all right. This is Josh John from The Clash. You're listening to a Baby Man special on Radio O'Hara. Well, all right.
Real men thickos, educated thickos, instinctual thickos, thickos in the burbs, private windows to the world, screens crawl with thicker words. Born again thickos, newbie thickos, ye old thickos, a thicko birth. Thicko wedding with a thicko cake, the whole thing thicko and half baked. Thicko proud daddy, thicko mum and granny, thicko granddaddy has left and gone on to thicko heaven, where we pray for his thicko soul. Reprehensible thickos, thicko geeks, thickos unbowed, thicko standing proud by their thicko flags, thickos two short planks. Hey lazy thicko, four-eyed thicko, that's what they would say when you stared into space, thinking is a losing game. It's never done to play. Well-meaning thickos, innocent thickos, good people thickos who cannot be blamed. Someone led them all astray. The clever dumb it down for the thicko brand.
You know.
Yicky thickos too. It's thicko see, thicko do, enough to ten times fill this thicko song.
You are tuned in to Resonance FM, the Dexter Bentley Hello Goodbye Show. And over the past 30 minutes, we've been enjoying a special feature with Baby Man. We heard a number of tunes during the feature. They were Baby Man, Love is the End Result, Grower, References, Deadhead Me, and lastly there, the wonderful Thickos. Please go to babymanmusic.bandcamp.com.